بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى today we will continue where we left off last week. And last week we talked about the boycott in the mountains of, you know, the section with Abu with Bani Hashim, and how Quraysh boycotted the Muslims where there was no food, no drinks, no intermarrying, no relationships. They were literally boycotted and separated from the society. And at the same time, the last year, the 10th year of Bi'tha, of the mission, the wife of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died only about a month or two after his uncle Abu Talib died. And that's what historians refer to as Aam al-Huzn, or the year of sadness. Because on the one hand, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lost the support, the external support, the family support, in terms of who would prevent Quraysh from harming the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And at the same time, in his house, he lost the emotional support of his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. So it was definitely a year of sadness. But the da'wah had to continue. Whether sad or not, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was commanded to convey the da'wah, the message. And that was the subject of the risala. So that he had to continue the da'wah. And the society of Mecca closed up. There is nothing more that they can do. In other words, that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can do for them. In other words, if he invited them to Islam, regardless what proofs he would bring them, they knew that the Quran is from the speech is the speech of Allah Ta'ala. They knew that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a liar, but they got stuck. That's it. We are not changing. We are following our forefathers. So immediately Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started looking, okay, this is not the only area. This is not the only place. Then we need to look outside of Mecca to see if we can get support for this da'wah, if we can get people to actually believe in it and endorse it. And that was that getting out of Mecca was the next step. And the first trip that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made was to Ta'if. And when he went to Ta'if, he did not go to Ta'if doing what he did in Mecca. Meaning in Mecca, he did not differentiate between the poor and the rich, between the old and the young, between who is the receiving the da'wah. He was just giving the da'wah. Anybody who's willing to listen, the Prophet ﷺ spoke to him. So he was going around the Kaaba, talking to them, and also targeting the influential people of Quraysh. And if we know, they remember the story of Abasa, Surah, you know, Abasa wa Tawalla, about Abdullah bin Maktoum, radiallahu anhu. So, but when he went to Ta'if, he did not go talk to the people. He actually went to the leadership of Ta'if. He went to the leadership of Ta'if. And Ibn Ishaq reported, and this is what actually before Ibn Ishaq, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah reported with a good sanad, with a good isnad or chain, that when Abu Talib died and Quraysh started attacking the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more, he went out to Ta'if seeking what is called the Nusra from in Thaqif. Thaqif is the tribe in Ta'if. So he went out asking for the Nusra. The Nusra is the support and the protection. From the word Nusra comes the word Al-Ansar. When we talk about the Ansar of Al-Medina, these were who later on, they gave him the support and the protection. That's where the word Ansar, the people who supported him, protected him, you know, allied with him, believed in him, so that, enabling him to convey the message of Islam. So Imam Ahmad reported that when Abu Talib died and Quraysh had started attacking Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Ta'if seeking for the Nusra from Thaqif and the protection, al-man'a min qawmih, the protection from his people, meaning from them against his people, وَرَجَاءً يَقْبَلُوا مِنْهُ الْإِسْلَامِ, hoping that they would accept Islam from them. Okay. So now, Ibn Ishaq reported that when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Ta'if, he went with Zayd bin Haritha. He did not go alone. He went with Zayd bin Haritha. And he met with the leadership of Thaqif. On those days, they were the children of Amr bin Umayr. They were three children of Amr bin Umayr. And they were Abd Yalayl, Mas'ud, and Habib. So he met with them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and offered them Islam, and they turned it down. They did not accept it. And ridiculed him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he gave up on them, that's it. They're ridiculing him. They're making fun of him. They're not accepting the message. So what did he do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He asked them for one thing. He said, keep what happened between you and me private. Keep it in secret. Don't tell the people that I came to you, you know. So that they did, so that people would not, you know, basically ridicule him. But they did not listen. I'm sorry? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not listen. And then they actually started rallying up the you know, the what called the sufuha, the light-headed people, little kids, the people who do not think, etc. You know, they started, telling him, go, you know, do something to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So their slaves, the silly ones, all the, you know, they started cursing him, yelling at him, until the people started gathering on him, meaning now they are actually surrounding him and they're about to attack him. And in some reports, they actually stoned him until the blood came out from his feet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it was a bad case. So when the people gathered against him, al-ja'uh, they pushed him towards a bustan, a garden, that belonged to Utbah and Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah. And they were in it. Utbah and Shaybah, who the owners of that, garden or that farm, were in it. And so the people left him alone. So now when he got there, he made a dua, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the dua is very famous. It's reported by Tabarani. And many people, many scholars of hadith, they said that it's a hadith da'if. It's a weak hadith. It's a weak report, you know. But the majority of the people actually ended up accepting it. Why? So many sources for this hadith, and the problems with it, if you wish, are minimal. And as Ibn Taymiyyah said in his rule in Tafsir, you know, that basically you can accept it because it has little weakness. I mean, the weakness is not tremendous, you know. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, used it also in his books. But the dua, actually, at the end of the day, Rasulullah did not make it a sunnah. I mean, there is no hukum shari'i established on this hadith, you know, on this dua. Whether it's weak, or whether it is even fabricated, or whether it is sahih, it is still a dua, a very good dua, a very beautiful dua, a very valid dua that I think most of us already know. And the dua, it goes as following. Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati. O Allah, to you I complain the weakness, my weakness. Wa qillata hilati. And in my inability to take care of my affairs. Wa hawani ala nas. And how easy I am on the people, meaning for them to attack me. Ya arhamar rahimin. O most merciful of those who are merciful. أنت رب المستضعفين. You are the Lord of those who are weak. وأنت ربي. And you are my Lord. إلى من تكلني. To whom are you leaving me? إلى بعيد يتجهمني. To have a stranger, somebody I don't know, who would mistreat me. أم إلى عدو ملكته أمري. Or are you leaving me to an enemy that you give him the upper hand on me? إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي. If you are not angry with me, then I don't care about any of this. You know, meaning all the hardship that he is getting. If you are not angry with me, then I do not care. ولكن عافيتك هي أوسع لي. But your saving and your grace is much better for me. And look at the politeness in the dua. He's not telling him stop it. He said, I don't care what happens as long as you're happy with me. If you're not angry, I'm happy. I'm fine. But your afia, your blessings, it's still better for me. Alayhi salatu wasalam. A'udhu bi nuri wajhika alladhi ashraqat lahu al-dhulumat. I seek refuge with the light of your face, with whom, you know, all darknesses have become bright. Wa saluha alayhi amru al-dunya wal-akhirah. And the matters of the dunya and the akhirah became good because of it. من أن تنزل بي غضبك. That you let your anger touch me أو يحل علي سخطك. Or that your again your despise or your anger would befall me. لك العتبة حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. There is no power and there is no might but with you. عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. So when the owners of the garden saw it, you know, the Utba and Shayba, the sons of Rabi'ah, when they heard that, you know, they started feeling, you know, a little bit emotional about it. Okay, so they invited him in, and they asked one slave who was a Christian slave. His name was Abbas. You know, that go give him, you know, some grapes. So, excuse me, Adas. When Adas saw him, when he was about to eat, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Now, the Arabs don't know this. They don't say this. So when he heard this, you know, before he ate, he asked him, what is your, you know, what's your story? And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am a prophet. So he kept on kissing his head, his feet, his hands, while saying, and they are saying, don't let him deviate from your religion. They are idol worshippers and he is a Christian. What do you care whether he becomes a Muslim or he does not? No. But you're not a Christian. If you were a Christian, telling Christian, don't let the Muslim deviate you, you understand, okay, I'm trying to keep him a Christian like me. But if you are an idol worshiper, you're a mushrik, and he is a Christian, why do you care whether he becomes a Muslim or not? No, don't let him deviate you from your religion. لا يصرفنك عن دينك فإن دينك خير من دينه. Because your religion is better than his. And this is the really amazing. When that happened, Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim reported from Urwa ibn Zubayr that Aisha radiallahu anha told him that she asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, هل أتى عليك يوم كان أشد من يوم أحد? Have you seen a day? Have you experienced a day that was tougher on you than the day of Uhud? فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, لقد لقيت من قومك وكان أشد ما لقيت منهم يوم العقبة. You know, that I really received a lot of, let's say, bad things from your people, meaning the Arabs. And the worst that I received from them was the day when I offered myself, عرضت نفسي على ابن عبد علي. I offered myself, meaning to believe in him, to protect him, to support him. You know, فلم يجبني إلى ما أردت. Then he did not answer me. So I went and I was very upset. And I was walking without knowing where I was walking. That's how upset عليه الصلاة والسلام was. And really sometimes we don't, and we think of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and we forget, you know, even though we know that he's a human being, but we forget the you know, the feelings that he gets as a human being. So he does get angry and he does get upset and he does get disheartened. You know, when Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ. You know, why are you feeling so eager to guide them? Why are you upset? You know, and Allah, the many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts him because again, he is a human being, the best of human beings, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said that I was very upset. I only, you know, became aware and I found myself in an area called Qarn al-Thalib. Qarn is a small mountain that split from a bigger mountain. You know, so it's an area called the Qarn al-Thalib. So he said, I raised my head, you know, lifted my head, and I saw a big cloud that covered me or that shaded me. So I looked and I found Jibril, alayhi salam. Fanadani, he called me, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Inna Allah azza wa jalla qad sami'a qawla qawmika lak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard what your people said to you. وَمَا رَدُّ عَلَيْكَ and what they replied to you with. وَقَدْ بَعَثَ إِلَيْكَ مَلَكَ الْجِبَالِ لِتَأْمُرَهُمْ مَا شِئْتَ فِيهِمْ. And Allah Ta'ala sent the angel of the mountains so that you can command him, you know, to do what you want. Okay, so Malik al-Jibal, the angel of the mountains, asked the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam after calling him, you know, he said, "Ya Muhammad, in Allah qad sami'a qawla qawmik. Allah Ta'ala heard what your people said. Wa ana Malik al-Jibal, and I am the angel of the mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me so that you can command me whatever you want. If you want, I will put the two mountains, I'll crush them, you know, I'll crush them between the two mountains." So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bal arju an yakhruja wa an yukhrij Allah min aslabihim man ya'bud Allah." I wish, no, meaning don't do that. I hope that Allah ta'ala would take out from them, from their children, some people who would worship Allah ta'ala alone. لا يشرك به شيئا, that does not associate parts with the part. He had the ability to get quote unquote revenge. But the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, when Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, this is the rahmah. People are stoning him, ridiculing him, making fun of him, driving him out, you know, disbelieving him, all of this. And yet Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, maybe from their children there'll be people who worship Allah. Not people who will come and be obedient to me or serve me, or, you know, they will be nice to me, but rather worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, by the way, any of us can pretend to be something for a limited time. And you can pretend to say, I worship Allah ta'ala, I call for Allah ta'ala. And you can do it for a while, but eventually something will happen where your real self will show. But for a man like a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was able to, you know, to call for the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, for the worship of Allah Ta'ala, for 23 years without any inconsistency, it cannot be but a man who is actually truthful. It cannot be but a man who's guided by wahi. Nothing, he had no, himself had no nasib, no part in it. Nothing. Every human being likes to be special and likes to be the number one and likes people to point to him. And, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he, you know, he could have said to the people, you go ahead, pray. I don't have to pray. I Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all my sins. I am his last prophet. Yet he was not just praying like them. You know, he was not just requiring them to lead it to pray al-fajr and isha and madhur and asr, etc. He was leading them in salah. Not only that, he was doing the sunan, and not only that, he was doing the nawafil, not only that, he was doing the qiyam, while they did not have to. He obligated himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, yani meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the qiyam a fard on the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The siyam, he would tell them fast Ramadan. He could have told them, you guys go ahead fast. I am good, I don't have to fast. You know, I'm a messenger of Allah, you know, and now if he's forgiven all my sins. But he did not just fast Ramadan. He fasted Mondays and Thursdays. He fasted the 13th, 14th, 15th of every lunar month. He fasted the 10 days of Ashura. I mean, this is abnormal. This is not normal. Because the norm is that you want to feel special and you want to be comfortable. People are asleep, he is standing and doing qiyam. He is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until his feet, as we all know, you know, became swollen. This is not the behavior of somebody who is making stuff up. When you are angry, at least you don't feel angry for yourself that these people ridiculed me, made fun of me, you know, etc. Yeah, I'll crush them. But get revenge, you know. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do that. And again, that is just, you can pretend once, twice, you can pretend in one thing for a little bit of time, but this cannot be the norm, your habit from the time of your risalah until the time of your death. Alayhi salatu wasalam.
Rahmatan
lil alamin. Bila shak, alayhi salatu wasalam. Another thing that actually uplifted, yani this, by the way, when the angels come and tell him, when Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and tells him this, and tells him Allah Ta'ala has heard you and Allah Ta'ala sent the angel of the mountains with you. Imagine what this does to comfort the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I mean, you're talking about now the angel from Al-Ghayb is coming to you and talking to you, telling you this. Not only that, he puts the angel of the mountains under your command. Go ahead, do what you want. That all of that helps him, you know, feel better and you know, comforts him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Another thing is that even more that comforted him as well was that some people actually listened, some jinn listened to him while reciting the Quran. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahqaf, in Surah Al-Jinn, when Allah ta'ala says, وَاصْرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوا قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. So Allah ta'ala sent some jinn, you know, to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to even listen to the recitation of the Quran, and they became Muslims. So even the jinn, now again, imagine what that does for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know. And this was mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. But all of this, by the way, I mean, all of this shows that when the Rasul ﷺ went to Ta'if, he went for a certain purpose. And of course, he did not succeed. And when we say he did not succeed, alayhi salatu wasalam, this shows us because if a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know, this somebody who does things in a supernatural way, in a miraculous way, you and I can never follow him. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have a good example. So if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supernatural, doing everything with mu'jiza, okay, how can I follow him? I'm not a prophet. I cannot do mu'jizat. I cannot walk on water. I cannot fly. I don't have control with on angels, you know. But you notice that the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from its inception until later on established the Islamic State and all the battles from the Badr to Uhud to Khaybar to, you know, all of them, they were winning here, losing there, you know, absolutely a human effort. It's a human effort. What are we going to do when the enemies are coming? Salman al-Farsi comes, okay, why don't we dig a ditch? Human effort, human ideas. Okay, you know, Uhud, how are we going to do this? You know, okay, you stay on the mountain so that they don't come from this side. That is a human effort. Badr, okay, we take this well and we destroy all the other wells so that they don't come. Again, human strategy, human effort. So when people are, you know, following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are able to follow him. And when we say so that anybody who is going to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in carrying the da'wah, you will know that things go up and things go down. You will succeed and you will fail. You will succeed and you'll fail. But when I say fail, it's I need to qualify it. Because the real failure, the only failure is not when you don't reach your destination. Of course, you have to reach your destination. You have to achieve your goal. But the failure is when you deviate from the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as you're following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you have the ups and downs, even if you have the setbacks, even if you did not succeed here, you did not achieve your goal here, recalibrate, see how you can do things better, you can, you know, but still your criteria for success should be, am I following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? So when I say that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not succeed in a Ta'if, this is a lesson for us. You can go and you can prepare and you can, you know, go offer the da'wah. And who's going to offer the da'wah better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yet the people turned it down. So you expect these setbacks to happen, and this is normal. And that's a lesson for us from this. Because imagine again, if everything was supernatural, we will have no messenger to follow. Even if we wanted to follow him, we will not be able to. You know, just like with the Christians, they tell you, be like Jesus. How can I be like Jesus if Jesus is the Son of God? How can I be like him? You can't. Can you? I mean, the gap is very huge between God and between me. Even God. Even, he's God. So how can you follow him? You cannot follow him even if you wanted to. You know, he had that ability that I don't have if he is the Son of God. But Muhammad والسلام, was a man, the best of men, والسلام, and he had many miracles, and he had, but at the end of the day, he conducted the da'wah, carried Islam, protected the deen, all of that in a very human way. you know, in a way that can be imitated by us. When the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back now from Taif, remember, the people of Quraysh still were looking for him and they wanted to kill him. Because why did he go to Sha'at? Why did he go to the mountains? Because they wanted to kill him. So now he wanted to go back into the Mecca. Now, how can he go back? Because he snuck out with Zayd bin Harith. So now how is he going to go back? Of course, he went, he sent a message to Al-Akhnas bin Shariq, or Shuraiq, you know, that...
at that time, before he went to Mecca, Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf.
Yes.
Feed the degree come. Cite it for him, Surah Yusuf.
Okay.
Comfort.
Yes. I don't know Allah, but I'll take your word.
Surah Yusuf, yes. Came exactly after the end.
After the
Taif. Exactly. Comfort.
Yes.
Look at your people, what you're doing, but look at Yusuf.
And what happened
brothers,
to
him? What they did for him.
Yes. Allah barak fik.
That time, Surah Yusuf came.
Allah is akbar. Allah barak fik. So he went to Al-Akhnas bin Shuraiq or Shariq. So he chickened out. And he said that I'm a halif, I'm an ally of Quraysh. I cannot protect against my allies. Okay. So he went and asked for the jawar. If you remember, by the way, the jawar, the idea of jawar in the Arab tradition, what they used to do is that they would go to somebody who's honorable and they say, I'm in the jawar of such and such, meaning that I am in the protection of such and such. So nobody would harm him. So Al-Akhnas turned it down. You know, Suhail bin Amr, you know, he asked for him. So he refused. Why? And he gave an excuse because by the way, it's not honorable to refuse. And so that's why all of them are giving excuses. I'm an ally with them. You know, Suhail comes and says, Bani Amr does not protect against Bani Ka'b. You know, so finally he went to Mut'am bin Adi. And he responded positively. And he went with his sons, you know, and they took their weapons to protect the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while he entered into Mecca. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the way, kept that in mind for Mut'am bin Adi. And he kept that, you know, the favor, if you wish, that he did me a favor. Because he also contributed when the Sahifa was written, when the document was written about the boycott of Muslims, Mut'a bin Adi was one of the people who said, we need to tear it down. These people have to eat and drink, etc. You know, so on the days of Asra Badr, when the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the prisoners of war from Badr, you know, he said that when Mut'am bin Adi was alive and he asked me to set these natna, these stinky people free, the mushriks, you know, I would have let them go for him to return the favor. You know, but of course he was dead at that time, and this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So, you know, again, some lessons, inshallah ta'ala, just reminders for us. Da'wah, any da'wah, can reach a stage of, if you wish, a dead end. Not because the da'wah, there's nothing wrong with the da'wah. Sometimes the people, there's something wrong with the people. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the uswa, who is the example for how to deliver the message, he's guided by wahi. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ الْوَحِي. I am warning you with wahi. He's guided by the wahi. And you come to the people of Mecca, year in and year out, and they know him, and they knew who Muhammad ﷺ was. They knew the Quran, and they still turned it down. And as Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَحَدُوهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا وَجَحَدُوهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They denied it. They rejected the message of Islam. While inwardly, inside, they are certain. اسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They have yaqeen that this is the truth. But they're rejecting it. You know, just like his uncle, they rejected it. Just like, you know, people who knew that, you know, this is not a speech of the human being. And Walid ibn Mughira said, this is not a speech of the human being, yet insisted on being a mushrik. So this is expected. The idea of Talab al-Nusra, by the way, this is not only at the time of the Arabs, because the leaders of the tribes can do this. Every society has a section in it that is the strongest in the society, that controls the society in the Muslim world. In the Muslim world, what do you think in let's say take Egypt or take Jordan or take who is the strongest section of the society? Who controls it? If you have their support, you have the rule. No. The armies. It's military rule in most of the Muslim world. It's military rules. It's the armies. Here you want to go through the countries. I mean, we can go through the countries and you see that all of them, whether in Pakistan, they just kicked out the president, and they've in Egypt, in all of it, this is army. You know, if you have the support of the army, you can actually control the country. If you don't have the support of the army, you cannot do anything. They will remove you at will. And we see this again over and over. So you have in some countries, you don't have armies like in Yemen. You have tribes. In Jordan, it used to be tribes much, much more than now because they were really weakened a lot. But these people had weapons that were equivalent to the army at some point, So every society, in democratic societies, who is the strongest section? Who is the one who has the power? The people, the majority. So when they decide that the people decides that we want something, the institutions are in place to allow their will to be carried through. This is not the case. This changes, it's different from one society to another, one area to another, And so when Rasul was in a tribalistic society, he went to the leadership of a Ta'if. He did not go to the masses. Because if the leadership, that's the way the tribes were. If the leadership comes and says, I'm a Muslim, everybody follows. Everybody follows. That's it. This is just the way it was. Yeah, I mean, Al-Ansar, if I'm not mistaken, Sa'd bin Mu'adh, when he became a Muslim, he went back to his people. He said, do you know me to be a silly person? Do you know me to be somebody who's lightheaded? Do you know me somebody to be not a wise person? No. He said, then I say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And I have nothing to do with you unless you all, everybody jumped on it and they became Muslims. But that's what I'm saying. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will talk about that if Allah Ta'ala gives us the life, in the coming sessions, that he kept on doing the same thing, going to the leadership of different tribes, from Bani Kalb to Bani Shayban to Bani Amir. He went to one tribe to the other, going to the leadership, trying to get their support and protection, until finally, who got it? Who gave it to him? Al-Madina. They came, six people came for Al-Hajj. They were mushriks.
Exactly.
And some people, and we'll talk about it inshallah more, some people were made conditions to him that, okay, you want to be the ruler, we'll make you the ruler, but we become rulers after you. Meaning the rulership becomes in our tribe. Rasulullah said, this is for Allah. He puts it wherever he pleases. And he turned it down. He turned down conditions, any condition. Bani Shayban told him, for example, we will protect you from everybody, but we have a covenant, we have a treaty with the Romans. We cannot, he said, no. Abu Bakr Siddiq was with him at the time. He said, Allah's deen cannot be established unless it's protected from all sides. Turned it down, walk away. Until Allah Ta'ala wanted this deen to be established and sent the six people of Khazraj at that time, from who became Ansar, became Muslims, went back, coming back next year, we'll talk about it inshallah ta'ala. But the idea is that anybody who wants to change the society, change the norms, the system, the society to allow for Islam to exist, etc., you have to take into consideration the influential people. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, why was he targeting also the influential people? Utba and Rabi'a and Abu Sufyan, and he was targeting them because these were the people of Quraysh. These were the leaders of Quraysh. Okay. The other thought, that Well, just one last one because of the time. I mean, we talked about the difficulties and the setbacks, and this is part of the norm of the da'wah. And by the way, many people cannot handle it. And just these setbacks, they tell you, okay, I've been carrying the da'wah for now 30 years. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. If a person does this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not responsible for the results. Yes, you need to think, why am I not reaching there? Why? What's going on? What is this? But if you're doing it as ibadah, it's not attached to success or failure. It's attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day of judgment. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ. You know, so it is, but some people do give up and they tell you, you know, I it's not happening, that's it, and they jump off the bandwagon. The other one we talked about also, the rahmah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rahmah of Islam, you know, even with the enemies of Islam and the people who ridiculed this prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, how he treated them. Just one last thing about the jinn. You know, some people try to make the idea of al jinn closer to the people. So they tell you it's like electricity. They're there because you say, I don't see them. You can say they're like electricity. You don't see it, but it's actually there. Or it's like waves. It's like, you know, and I read some things trying to explain what al jinn is from al-ghayb. When Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. But then there is something called jinn. That's it. Now, whether you see them, you don't see them, whether you know what they are, you don't know what they are. Why do we believe in a jinn? Because we have the Islamic text talking about the jinn. We have the Quran and the Sunnah mentioning the word, you know, that there are jinn. And we have more details from Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith about who are these jinn, what they eat, where they live, etc. So we take what came to us without trying to understand, you know, to give examples of electricity, because these examples were given about wahi. You know, about wahi. How could the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam receive wahi? So they started talking about waves, you know, and how the waves actually travel through the light and through the glass, you know, without, you know, seeing them, but they are there. And all of this is very artificial, you know, because at the end of the day, this is from al-ghayb. And we believe in al-ghayb. If it's coming from a source that is truthful, and the source of Islam, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a truthful source. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. You know, Allah ta'ala tells the truth, and therefore we believe in it and we stop. So we don't, you know, go beyond what is thought, or, you know, what is mentioned in the text. We don't sit and contemplate where they are, wherever they are. And we have our dua, and we have our, dua from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how to protect yourself from the evil jinn, and you have to protect, you know, we have that ayat al-kursi and al-adhan, and, you know, all of these things are there. So just to say that the iman al-jinn, now it's become, it's more of a story also. Some of us use it just to scare the children, and I don't know why anybody wants to scare their children. You know, really, do you want to scare their children? Don't walk in the dark because there is jinn. You know, do you want them to be scared of the dark? Why? The stuff we do to our kids is unbelievable. You know, why would anybody want to scare their children? But they scared them with the jinn, and they made them into like something that's a fictitious story, something that's imaginary, not real. No, al-jinn are real. They are established in the Quran, in the Sunnah, and we believe in it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they exist, and some of them.
Don't think like malaik.
Yes, yes, we believe in it. But just anything in al-ghayb, that we believe in it because Allah ta'ala told us about it, and that's really the end of the story. You know, any questions or comments?
About what?
I know that nobody has control over the health and sickness of people, over the rizq of people, over the death of the life of people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. And to believe that anybody, jinn, can actually make you sick, and the jinn can cure you, and the jinn can increase your rizq or decrease your rizq, or all of this is not, you know, it's against our Islamic belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decrees, you know, how much rizq you have, what sickness you're going to have, how to cure you. Now, the Quran al-Kareem, فيه شفاء للناس, and there it has cure. If you remember the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when some of the Sahaba were traveling and they went to a tribe, and the tribe chief's son was very sick, you know, and they asked for food, and they said, we're not going to feed you, but he said, I can cure your son, you know, and if you cure him, we will give you whatever you want. So sure enough, he read al-Fatiha on it, you know. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he and the man, the boy was cured. So when they went back to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he said, "Wama adraka annaha ruqya?" How did you know that it can be a cure? You know, the meaning approving what the man did. So yes, you can use the ayat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala for cure and this and that, just like you take medicine. So you take the medicine and you do the ruqya as well. This is the akh bil asbab, and this is also shifa. But my point is that to associate anything bad that happens to us to bad jinn, and you know, and as you mentioned, this is somehow it's become like in our countries very common. You know that this jinn bewitched him, or jinn did this to him, and you have somehow. Somebody will come to tell you, I can cure him, and I don't take anything. I don't take any money. But for me to get the material that I need, the material is very expensive. I am free, you know, but the material is very expensive. So they will come, happened with somebody I know. Somebody I know, the man said, I don't take anything, but it is about 1,500 dinars, of almost, you know, $2,500 for me to get the material, because it has to come from this place, that place, you know, all of this, you know. And at the end of the day, they're just cheating the people and taking their money for us.
It's a business.
It is a business. And, you know, if you won't really read, just open, go Google search and look at the Ruqya, you know, you learn it very easily. There are books written about it. How to what ayat to read, what dua to give, etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cure. Allah yajzikum khair. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asr. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا.